Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
We got so much to do here. All right, let me see how good I am at my job. As we have our guy, B. Scott from Hiram Clark, hanging out with us for the entirety of this hour.
That's right.
Appreciate you hanging out with us, B. Scott. I don't mean to dismiss you, but there's a lot of things, including number four for the Browns in more legal trouble and an interesting he says, she said when it comes to your Texans. We'll get to that in a moment. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. That's coming up in the noon o'clock hour, so you want to stick around. And while you're sticking around, you also want to make sure to help us in our Odyssey Houston Kids Read Radiothon. We are raising money for the babies to make sure the babies can read and, you know, better their, you know, lives and their predicaments with the lifelong love of reading and learning that is fostered by reading at an early age, because there's a lot of disadvantaged young folks in the city of Houston. And when it comes down to it, I think 61% of low-income families in Houston have no books at all in their homes. In fact, 60% of Houston area kids in kindergarten enter kindergarten each year lacking required reading skills. And so we can help in that endeavor to make sure that the babies are good by texting new books, NEWBOOKS to 41444. And if you donate $30, $30 is sufficient to, you know, get it started for one child in the home, get them the books that they need. And thanks to Reliant, they're actually matching every donation. So you'll help two babies with just a donation of $30. You don't have to do just that. You, as much as you can, right? We like the ones that that jingle, but we prefer the ones that fold, in the words of you know, a character in Coming to America. So yeah, we're doing it for the babies. Make sure to hang out with us, and if you make sure to type in there a little bit of Go Texans, maybe even a suck an egg Eric with a K.
I just wrote Suck It Eric on my
donation. We'll also shout you out here on the program.
That boy good.
Shout out to Lisa McDowell.
Lisa McDowell. That's right. All sorts of shout outs when it comes to characters.
Hey, so, only somewhat related. My kids at their elementary school have a book fair going on this week and asked me this morning for money for the book fair, and it made me think about this exact thing that we got going on.
Yeah.
Book fair for my kids at their school. We've got our radiothon, our readathon here at Sports Radio 610 in Odyssey, Houston. And I just think it's really important to pour into the kids as much as we possibly can, even if you don't have kids, to do your best to do your part.
It takes a village, they say, and we're all part of that village when it comes to the city of Houston making our society better. This is a very easy way to do that. And if you want to be selfish about it, which is possible, you know, like, I'm okay. As long as ultimately it ends up in the right place, we can do a little something special for you. If you like the University of Houston Cougars, we can set you up that way. They play Iowa State on the 28th of this month. And you, if you buy tickets on the website, uhcougars.com/odyssey, that is A-U-D-A-C-Y, a portion of those tickets ultimately will make their way to this foundation and to this cause to make sure that the babies are getting books.
And a couple of things here, and we'll get to around the NFL. But, you know, we all have teachers in our lives somewhere.
Absolutely.
In my case, it's my wife. Figgy's case is his wife. Your case, it's your mother.
Correct.
And we all we've heard a lot about 61% of low-income families don't have books in their home. 79% of Houston school children are economically disadvantaged. This is one that stands out to me because it kind of hits home with you have to get these kids reading early. If you're in third grade and you do not read proficiently, you are four times more likely to drop out of school. And that affects them. It affects their families. and it affects all of us down the road.
Absolutely. So let's support the babies because In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, just like the Wu-Tang for the children. Yeah. You know what I mean? With that being the case, let's go around the NFL. I had to do it. I just had to do it, right?
So nicely done. We dropped some Coming to America and some Wu-Tang, all while trying to support the children.
Lopez in there lost.
No, I'm not.
You over there Googling now.
No,
because the Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing.
Not
anyways.
On that one. On many, I am.
All right, so let's start with the Texans angle of it. I mean, what seemed like a simple note that I was really going to backside this segment with was one that came from the ever active Aaron Wilson, as he is always letting you know about transactions. And it seemed like it came and passed pretty quickly. The idea that, hey, the Texans are doing that thing that they seem to do every year, which is bring Desmond King back. Desmond King II being added to the practice squad. And then literally in the break before this segment, I see our friend Jonathan M. Alexander retweet. A tweet from Desmond King's Twitter account that reads as follows. For the record, I didn't sign anything. I don't want to be used as a reserve. My value as a player has been in the top of my position for years. It's time I deserve some respect. I show up every time the opportunity presents itself.
Ooh.
End tweet. And I was like, drama.
Yeah. So it looks like perhaps some folks are not on the same page. I wonder if. Here's what I'm guessing based off of what you just presented there, Reginald, that maybe Desmond King and his agent are not on the same page. You know, like Desmond King, perhaps I'm curious on what his options are or where all he's able to go, like who all is demanding Desmond King services and might the Texans be his best option? And does his agent know that? Is that why he's kind of feeding this information to Aaron Wilson? This is my guess here. I don't know this for a fact.
Yeah.
But is that why he's feeding that information to Aaron Wilson and Desmond King, of course, you know, with the confidence of an NFL defensive back, thinks, oh, no, of course I'm better than what the league has decided that I'm worth. So I do wonder if there is some disagreement between client and agent.
I went in another direction based on one sentence in Desmond King's tweet, and that is, I don't want to be used as a reserve. That's says a lot, I think. Because who's the nickel?
Well, no, I mean, what else would he be used
James
as?
James Petrie?
Especially
this time of year.
He didn't make the team.
Yeah. This time of year, I don't know what player or what team is like.
You don't make, looking to sign a starting cornerback.
No, I don't disagree.
You don't make the 53-man roster, and then we bring you back as, like, and you're just the starter?
Yeah.
No, we didn't even put you on the 53-man. We said bye to you and brought you back last year.
And to be fair, I when he says I don't want to be a reserve, I don't know if that means, like, I don't want to be a backup or if I don't want to be on a practice squad, right?
I mean, either way.
Oh, there is right. that.
But, yeah. but either way, when you're not on the 53-man, the message, I feel like, is pretty much loud and clear.
Oh, it is. I'm just saying, like, he's making it very clear what he thinks.
Yeah.
You know? And that to me is very fascinating.
Yeah, but again, like if what he thought was more in line with reality, I mean, week one has officially happened. I know we've got, week one has officially happened. It's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So if what he thought was more in line with reality, he would be somewhere else.
Yeah.
By now.
I tend to agree, but we'll see how that ultimately plays out. Again, I thought that was going to be a simple note that, hey, man, Desmond King is back.
Yeah.
A little bit of the breaks.
Yeah, I thought it was all reliable. Hey, man, look.
It's what they do.
Death, taxes, and Desmond King coming back to the Texans as the nickel corner.
But you know what? I think that might be a lesson that we can all take into our lives. Don't take things for granted. Don't think that every time that you turn to someone or something that it's always going to be there for you because it might just turn around and be like, yeah, I don't like the way this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Well, yeah. So I will say, and I've always thought this, yeah, and it's even more so now as this saga continues and unfolds.
Incredible
with Desmond King.
Now.
Like, I don't understand exactly what is going on, what the disconnect is between Desmond King and this team, between like what his contributions have been to this team, what I feel like his value has been to this team, mm-hmm, and the way it appears they have viewed him.
Mm-hmm.
There is a disconnect somewhere. I'm not saying who's wrong, who's right, sure, or what. I'm just saying it is a very fascinating disconnect between what it feels like his value and contributions have been to the team,
yeah,
and how they value
it. It's like a breakup that you can't quit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all. Hey, yeah.
It's a breakup you can't quit.
Those are wild situations.
Oh, is it a fatal attraction?
That's a good thing.
It's a toxic relationship.
Yeah, but you just keep going back.
Yeah.
That's wild that y'all called it that, because there's still a possibility he ends up on this team again, right? Like, yeah. We'll see.
I mean, how many do? I'm sure we all can find a toxic relationship that still exists.
Yeah.
Where they still keep spinning the block.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere.
A lot of where.
Everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. We can all relate.
I mean, do this situation mean something for the nickel position, though? Like, was this trying to be like a backup plan, possibly?
Well, I think they absolutely want to bolster the position, and that's why they're bringing him back or trying to bring him back. But he thinks he's valued.
But it seems like
his value in his mind is I should be there.
But it seems like they bring him back because they're super comfortable with him, you know, playing that position.
Sure. Right. Well, I think that as bullish as you can be on Jalen Petrie and his opportunity and the possibilities of him at that position, you can't neglect the fact that he's been playing safety the last 2 years in the NFL, and it is possible that that doesn't actually work out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
again, it seemed like it's insurance.
Well, right. When I was saying the old reliable or the safety, mm-hmm, that feels what it's like. Hey, this is our comfort just in case the thing that we, mm-hmm, want to happen doesn't actually work out the way we want it to.
Right.
All right, guys, let's do the thing, because once another time, Deshaun Watson has come up in legal matters that deal with sexual assault. Yesterday, we found out that on Monday, Deshaun Watson was sued here in Houston for sexual assault and battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Apparently, this lawsuit stems from, or explains rather, that in October of 2020, that Watson, per the lawsuit, had a date at a woman's apartment, was unable to find it initially, and kind of became aggressive. Ultimately, when he did get to the apartment, supposedly there was forcible sexual assault that occurred. That is the allegations as it stands from the Jane Doe, who has filed this lawsuit. She is going under Jane Doe for the time being, and she is being represented by Tony Busby.
Who?
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah.
He's back,
he has,
baby,
returned. And so, yeah, this is a, first of all, like, kind of wild to consider. And this was one of the things that I always thought about when any team, obviously the Cleveland Browns themselves ended up being the team, but with any team, had to decide whether or not they were going to be in on those then sweepstakes, was you have to ask yourself, what is the likelihood that these things that we know are the only ones that are there? Especially since it seemed like you were establishing a pattern of behavior. And it seems like, assuming that these allegations are true, which I don't know that you can do outright, but I mean, it falls in line with a lot of the things that we heard from all the other allegations with massage professionals and things, that, yo, this is a pattern and that this is something that he did quite a bit.
Well, so, and to the point that you just made, we always knew that the number was greater, the possible number was greater than the one that we were being given.
And even just in the massage situations, mm-hmm. because Busby did not take every single person that responded to
right.
him. Yeah.
And so we knew that at the time. And so that makes your point all the more valid of, hey, you had to know that this was possible if you got into business with Deshaun Watson, that, hey, even if nothing, like, there was so much focus on his changed behavior, supposed changed behavior, and his rehabilitation, and, hey, we're going to get Deshaun Watson right, and or it, what to whatever degree he needed to get right and all of that. But there wasn't enough focus, I thought, on, hey, I don't feel like we got to the root of whatever it was that was happening to begin yeah. with. We kind of just like, hey, is there going to be a settlement? Is there going to be a trade? Is he going to get a contract? And like, all of the conversations that were being had were the wrong ones. And among the right ones would have been, hey, how much more of this is out there? Now, I know a lot of people are going to want to ask, hey, why is this just now coming out? There have been several years now for this to have come out before now. I think that that's actually sort of beside the point.
And that's one of those things that it's one of those conversations that constantly comes up almost as a hurdle and a stumbling block when it comes to matters of sexual assault. We've talked about this time and time again. There's all sorts of mental and emotional hurdles that could absolutely be happening when it comes to a survivor of sexual assault or domestic assault or anything like that mm-hmm. of abuse in that way.
Yeah. And really, it's still like, says nothing or speaks nothing to like the truth of the matter.
Sure.
So it's like, okay, if you want to object to this one element, like for whatever reason, have a question of, hey, why is this just not coming out? Okay, well, did this happen though?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right,
it's
right,
like
yeah.
that's still kind of the more relevant question here. And going back to the initial point with Deshaun Watson, that door, that window, if you will, was always open for there to be more. And then to bring it back to just quickly to the football side.
Yeah.
You couple that with the fact that he has not been right.
God awful.
Since then, I mean, it's just like all the way down for Deshaun Watson.
28?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in every way, other than the guaranteed money, like he can rest on that. But otherwise, like reputation as a player, as a dude, could not be at a lower
I'm
point.
I'm very interested in this one for a number of reasons. You know, obviously the timing of it, you can't say that it was timed based on the fact that it was going to get a lot of run now based on his performance on Sunday. So, you know, who knows if that's just coincidence. But because of whether it's coincidence or otherwise, this is awful in so many ways, on the field, off the field, in the public eye for Deshaun Watson. And the other thing that's interesting to me is this is an accusation of actual sexual assault.
Yes.
Like the actual thing, you know. Like forcing himself. The other ones were, you know, sort of.
Well,
you know.
So, not to interrupt, but there were a couple of the. Most of the other ones
yeah.
were not like that, but there were a couple of those mm-hmm. among the litany of mm-hmm. accusations, if you will, even back then. There were like two of those mm-hmm. among the dozens, if you will. So, like, again, it is another one of those situations where you're like, man, this was always kind of in the back
yeah.
pocket, if you will, or for lack of a better term, a possibility of something that yeah. can happen. And I don't want to be distasteful about this, but on top of the serious nature of the allegations of sexual assault, I would also point out, just from a Deshaun Watson specific standpoint, a lot of the details that get leaked out of this are really like specific and embarrassing,
yeah.
if you will. And
sure.
We don't have to get into it, but like some of the things that are like the descriptive nature of
yes.
what's going on, like, hey, we were having a conversation and then this happened all of a sudden. And then,
right.
you know, of course, there are like jokes that people want to have about
yeah.
that. Like, this is so, so, so bad for the reputation, the image. And I would imagine for like as a player having to deal with that, like, oh, I'm not playing well. Oh, and
then this.
Guess what? They're saying bad things about me and like very specific, embarrassing details about how I get down, you know, in the bedroom or whatever.
If I mean, I would argue that psychological, you know, like, I guess weight or what have you, clearly has affected him. Because again, I mentioned he's 28. Like, I understand you can maybe talk about the injury. Was it shoulder injury that he had last year?
Yeah.
He doesn't have that now, and he still looks terrible. Like, it feels like as you've isolated variables over his time of why has he been so bad with Cleveland, the one that I can only stick to is like, hey, man, that dude just mentally must be, you know, kind of shot from the, I guess, kind of an exposing of who he actually is. And it's kind of crazy to think about who we believed him to be when he was here in Houston.
I think that's
before,
why it affects him so much.
Right? Like,
and he had this reputation that he promoted.
And it seems like he cared about being loved.
And being a servant leader and all this other stuff. And then he got exposed and that, he just can't get over it.
Got the public perception changing on him. Got the injuries that he's dealt with. Got the time that he missed. Can't forget that he missed a lot of time playing football, just dealing with this whole thing, the back and forth and all of that. And then on top of the fact that he went to Cleveland, which was a well-built team, but Sean Watson don't like playing outside like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a totally different even environment from that standpoint for him. Like, everything, literally everything changed for dude.
And that's without us even talking about the idea that I imagine that, you know, the terms of him going to Cleveland, it was like, hey, is there anything else? And I do wonder if this would then allow them to possibly get out from under some of the guaranteed money. Oof. I know that Charles Robinson of Yahoo said that the allegations in the particular lawsuit are not the same as prior lawsuits. And so he doesn't believe, and of course this is one person, that the NFL would handle this as a continuation of that previously, adjudicated thing. So only God knows where we go from here when it comes to him and the NFL and his employment.
I tell you, I feel bad for any woman or any person that's been wronged in sexual assault. I tell you who I don't feel bad for. And that's Cleveland Browns. Don't feel bad for them.
Yep. As an organization, as a squad, all that. All right, that's around the NFL, an extended version of it, as we have all sorts of things happening. Coming up, don't worry about it. Coming up next, we got B. Scott All Hour. So let's go into B. Scott's thoughts. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Beast got from Iron Club. It is, according to Lopez.
For the record, I had your back.
According to Lopez,
it's
the hardest intro that we have.
I mean, is there any doubt?
Ask Figgy and
I'm sorry,
Reggie.
I think Baseball Spoke goes harder.
Nah.
I think Baseball Spoke goes harder. So, I love your intro, but so I think Baseball Spoke goes harder.
Baseball Spoke can go harder. But mine wins automatic because it references and is a nod to Hiram Clark. That's a very Houston-specific intro. And so I think that the fact that that song reaches out to a specific community of ours, and maybe I'm biased here because it's my community.
What?
But
maybe. Biased?
But
maybe.
But I think that that represents something.
Mm-hmm.
Something special. So give me that. Give me community.
That's
Give me Hiram Clark.
Okay. A man of the people, particularly them people in Hiram Clark. I got B. Scott hanging out with us. He is our Texans insider. And let's talk some Texans. After a big week one victory, I am super excited to get into his brain and into his B. Scott's thoughts. What you got for us, B. Scott?
Man, so I'm trying to reconcile the good with the bad. Because,
buddy, aren't we all?
Because you want to celebrate a win, and far be it from me to be the buzzkill. I came in, I got my 713 Texans hoodie on and everything. I'm embracing the fall weather and all of that. Like, the vibes are high. I'm overall positive, but I am trying to reconcile the fact that the Texans went out there, won this game. Shout out to them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they did the things that I expected them to do well, they didn't necessarily do as well. And the things that I thought would be weaknesses for them turned out to be strengths. So it's
159 yards from the running back
and being able to
that would do it,
and not just off of one big run. Like, it's not like you got that big 60 70 80 yard burst and that's what the majority of it was.
No,
they punished dudes from start to finish, really. Like, it was an overall impressive display.
Five yards at a time.
Hey, from the offensive line, from the running backs, from everybody basically that touched that had any involvement in the run game, from play calling to just all of it was sublime. And so I'm happy about that. I'm happy for them with that. But also, I expected for it to be a little bit cleaner in pass protection. Yes. I expected them to be tighter in coverage and to be aware of the Colts' propensity to go for the big play to establish the tone and the explosive playability of, you know, their fast receivers and Anthony Richardson specifically, who's got a hose on them. So, like, those were things that worried me and that disappointed me, and I thought, you know, it's not the end of the world, but those are things that absolutely have to be better. But I would rather them be good at the things that I thought they weren't as good at, and then, you know, show some rustiness in the areas that I thought were places of strength. So overall, it is a positive feeling.
I think the one, more so than the pass protection, I think that's something that they have done consistently well. Maybe not necessarily with these five guys, but even with a hodgepodge line, they were better, you know, over the course of the season. They weren't great, but they were better over the course of the season last year.
And they were going up against some dudes.
Yes.
Legit.
That's what I'm saying. The safeties thing, and you say coverage. I think it's safeties. I think you can specifically. Now, I know Kamari.
And Sting. Right? So, at that point, it's the whole.
It's everybody. Hey, shout out to Kalen Bullitt.
But we don't know.
First NFL game, first NFL interception. But outside, and boy, did that prove to be valuable and necessary, that turnover right there, as the Colts are driving. Like, that might have actually even saved the game for them. I mean, I think you could say it did based off of the score being a 2-point game.
Yeah.
But everybody, John, like, safeties, corners, everybody, man.
No, I get it. But what I'm saying is, we don't know, like, was the safety supposed to be there sooner? Did, you know, all this stuff over the top on some of those that were running down the sideline?
Fair enough. We can make some good guesses in some of these instances.
On some of them. Yeah. But I think specifically to me, I'm not worried about Derek Stingley. I'm not real worried about the offensive line. I have a lot of confidence in Kamari Lassiter. But it was sort of the safeties, especially the deep balls, which some of them were just great plays. I'm like, okay, that's something that I would line up with you on that one.
Yeah, some of them were great plays. Some of them, as D'Amico Ryans actually spoke to, was like the idea of, hey, man, you need to put yourself in better positions, right? Some of these things are obvious as things that are capable of happening. And we'll talk more about them as we continue in the broadcast, but why not talk about some of it right now? B. Scott, how you feeling about Jimmy Ward? Like, Jimmy Ward is a dude that almost, and I know for me, I have maybe, I don't know if the mistake is the right word, but I guess I'll use that for lack of a better term. I've made the mistake of just being like, Jimmy Ward is Jimmy Ward. I don't have to think about that. Let's look at other places. Do we have, are we seeing signs of degradation with Jimmy Ward in like week one when, you know, he's having to hustle back or he's not necessarily getting on his horse and following Alec Pierce up the field?
So he was very, to me, there were two issues with Jimmy Ward last year. I felt like he was boomer. He was either making a play or giving one up last year when he was out there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the obvious part of him being injured for a good portion of it. Now, maybe it's just the old folks in me, or the bias in me, of just being, of taking Jimmy Ward for granted, kind of to the point that you're making, Rachel, of like, hey, just pencil that in. That's okay. I know Jimmy Ward has been a good football player for a long time, so you tell me Jimmy Ward is out there, and he still does make some plays.
Absolutely.
Then I expect him to just be that, be kind of a constant. But I don't think you should sneeze at the fact that he's been injured for the better part of two straight years, his last year in San Francisco and then his first year here. And then that's on top of the fact that he's on the other side of 30 as well.
33, exactly.
And then you see some of the, you know, again, some of the downgrading of the game overall, right? So if you combine all of that, I think that you would say, hey, there's an issue there. I thought that just as much as Kalen Bullock was a possible replacement for Jalen Petrie with the position change, I thought it could also be Jimmy Ward insurance until they extended him, until they gave him that deal. I was like, oh, maybe they're not as worried about Jimmy Ward as others or as I am. But that's definitely been a thought of mine for a while now.
Okay. All right.
Like the secondary overall, I think, is one that you have to question. Like, Derek Stingley, I think, is obviously the best player there, but Kamari Lassiter is still a rookie. Derek Stingley still has had injury issues, so you just worry about his availability and want him to be out there.
Yeah, Derek Stingley, I'm actually not worried about. He's a dude.
Yeah, no,
he's in that prime.
An absolute dude. I supported that pick from the very beginning. But then outside of that, okay, Kalen Bullock, a rookie. Congratulations on your first pick in your first game, but a rookie. And then Jimmy Ward on the opposite side of rookie status. Is this a waning player that they're attached to?
That's where I am. See, like, even Lassiter, I know these guys got open down the sideline. They got open, and Anthony Richardson just missed him. But if I had to pinpoint it, it's those two guys.
I think with Jimmy Ward, and we'll see if this is them overvaluing this or if it's us undervaluing this. But Jimmy Ward sets a tone with that defense.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of us kind of joke around during training camp. We're like, hey, Jimmy, slow down, man.
Right.
You're about to hurt your own teammate. You don't have to deplete Dalton Schultz out there at training camp every time, you know, every year like that. I know y'all got a history and everything. But low key, but high key, D'Amico Ryans likes that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, that's the tone that he sets. That's the energy that he brings as a former player, a former linebacker, a former linebacker's coach.
And it's identity.
A defensive coach. Identity.
Yeah.
That is a part of what I think they want to be and represent. And Jimmy Ward is that. So I think there are some issues, but I think there's something that he does bring from a tone setting standpoint that they absolutely value.
That's going to be, I'm going to use a phrase that I definitely overuse, but deal with it. I'm going to be watching that space, right? Like that is a space I'm absolutely going to be watching. And there's an opportunity for some, I told you so's to pop up, you know, when we start, if we're watching safeties and if it does not, if it, you know, if it wasn't just, you've got 6'3" dudes running at high speeds with a dude with the crazy cannon in the backfield. If it shows up in different ways, there will be opportunities for that.
I think you can celebrate the fact that they could run the ball against Indianapolis. I think you can celebrate the fact that they were able to stop the run or contain Jonathan Taylor.
And Anthony Richardson
for the most part, except for that touchdown, obviously, where it was just Anthony Richardson being otherworldly. But you cannot live in a space in the NFL where you give up explosive plays or where you're leaky in coverage.
Yeah.
And you also cannot live in a space where you're not protecting your franchise quarterback in the way that you need to. So they won the game, but the things that were concerning would be real concerns if they repeated themselves over the course of time outside of just the 1 week.
Love B. Scott's thoughts every Tuesday right here in the 11 o'clock hour in the Loop Sports Radio 610. We're still going on the reading radiothon. I almost want to say reading rainbow every time, and that's not what we're doing quite. But we are supporting the baby.
I was going to say you're better read than maybe you led on there. Like Reginald is better read and reads better than that read. 100%. We can attest.
Look, maybe I just needed more books. So what you need to do for the babies? Put $30 on it or more. Shout out to Reliant, who is matching all those donations. Yes, exactly. New books, NEWBOOKS, no spaces in there. Text that to 41444. Make sure that you put it in the notes down below, because we got Eric with a K, who is a Cowboys fan, who's telling people to put Go Cowboys. So I need you to counter that by saying go Texans in there, and, you know, maybe tell them to go suck an egg. Eric with the K. Is there anybody else that's been out here?
Yeah.
Doing just that?
How about our guy Patrick, the big boss's worst half? Cowboys suck. With a contribution, Sean Pendergast with one. Lisa, big time listener from West Houston.
Hey.
Go Texans, and of course Brian Williams, Go Texans from Timber Grove. We talked about that. So let's keep it going, man.
Keep that going. Hey, if you got a small business or whatever you would like a shout out, go ahead and do that. Donate on that page. We'll shout you out in that way, because we're here to help the babies today, all day today, with our reading radiothon in benefit of the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. All right, it's in the Loop Sports Radio 610. We still got B. Scott hanging out with us, and coming up next, let's talk about what's popping. I want to get to another one of your thoughts, but then also, you remember that time where a wide receiver got hemmed up outside of his office? We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
In the Loop Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. In for the hour, Brandon B. Scott. Brandon K. Scott. I got myself in the air.
It's all of that.
It's you know how you get yourself in the air when you got to make a pass, and you're like, damn, I don't have to.
Where
make
am
a
I going
to?
Oh yeah, where oh, am ju- I gonna oh, go jump pass.
Yeah, yeah. Your coach is on the sideline yelling, yeah, like, make a decision, Reggie. Yeah.
No,
shoot the ball.
The thing that the coach says is, as soon as you land, come sit by me.
Sup?
Yeah,
come
here. Yeah.
Come
Sup?
Sit by me. Yeah. I am Reginald Atula, hanging out with you. Let's talk about what's popping here in H-Town when it comes to Sports Radio 610. First of all, what's popping is that we are trying to raise this money for these babies so that they can read, because there are so many of school children in Houston, 74%, mind you, in Houston, that are considered economically disadvantaged, and 61% of those low-income families have no books at all in their home. So we want to make sure that that happens in accordance with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. We're doing a radiothon to help the babies read. New books, NEWBOOKS is the word to text. No spaces, no underscores, none of that. New books to 41444. Make sure you donate. $30 will get it done to make sure that the babies get a set of new books
in the house so that they can improve literacy, get themselves into kindergarten with that that preparedness to read and to learn to help advance themselves. And Reliant is matching all donations right now.
And so real quick, because I want to get into what's popping here, but you mentioned before the last break, small businesses. Let's go through a few here, because these guys just they're just grinding. They're on the grind right here. I'm gonna go through about 10 real quick. I'll do some more later. Optica Illusions, owner of Swift General Services, AZ Roofing and Painting, hey. Standard Bio Tools,
yes,
AAR Legacy Insurance,
okay,
Champions Housekeeping, Concrete Pros Ready Mix, PLS&R, whatever that is in Pasadena, Hallison's Craft Room. So just small businesses, we can feel the grind.
Yeah, we shouting you out, being a small business, supporting your community, that's typically what that association is, and we appreciate you doing that and helping us here at Odyssey in Houston, Sports Radio 610, support this particular thing, the babies, man. It's exactly what we got to do. All right, man, what's popping when it comes to what's happening in sports? I do want to, let's talk about this Texans thing, because there are actually, it's not Texas related, it's actually Anthony Richardson related in some ways.
Yeah, so I just want to be on the record that I'm good with being on this island, living on this island. I'm going to say that he's incredible. I feel like everybody is just talking about how Anthony Richardson was inaccurate and Anthony Richardson wasn't this and Anthony Richardson wasn't that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't see how you can watch a dude throw a ball 60 plus yards in the air off balance around traffic, a collapse, traffic in his face, and throw a dot. Like, if he can do difficult things like that, some of the easier things that he struggles with, and to be clear, he does obviously struggle with some of the easier things. He is not the most accurate quarterback. I feel like that almost goes without saying.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there is a reasonable explanation for that. The dude never plays or rarely plays, hardly plays. If that dude had double the reps, which most of the quarterbacks in his position do,
yeah,
like if he had played as much as Davis Mills has, even, you know, just to use an example,
mm-hmm,
like that is somebody that I think hits a lot of those easier things. He's got so much that you can't teach. I mean, think about it. You got a quarterback that went 9 for 19 and was kind of sporadically accurate, and a run game that was mostly held in check, and you had to play keep away from them at the end of the game just to win it.
Now, they got a little special teams love there, but still, your point still stands.
For sure, I'm saying they made enough explosive plays to at least threaten you. So I think that there's something there. If that dude stays healthy and plays enough, we've got an issue on our hands.
Yeah, man, he is, and I think I tweeted this, like the high end of this is really scary, and that's always been the issue, right? I think this is a matter of perspective. From the 832, they said, no doubt AR has a cannon, but he wasn't that impressive. I think this is more a how you look at it. If you're looking at the entirety of it, yeah, he's not making the mundane plays, which I think are necessary, right? You do the mundane things that opens you up to do the incredible things. And that is a question, and if you look at it that way, fair, he wasn't impressive. But if you're just looking at the possibilities, which a lot of NFL GMs do, and a lot of coaches are like, okay, but what's the possible worst case scenario for my team when we go up against him? That is terrifying.
Look.
He benefits a lot from Josh Allen, though, because a dude that profiles like big arm but doesn't do it right, we previously would be like, yeah, no, that's fine, right? Like, I don't think that'll actually happen.
He frustrates me and confuses me. And I mentioned this with Figgy and Reggie yesterday, because like what you just said, Reggie, unbelievable.
Yes.
Like, unbelievable. But, you know, he hasn't had a lot of reps. Like you said, he's had 18 starts since high school, which is an amazing stat. But he also has a great offensive coordinator. He's been the starter now for 2 years. So even when he's rehabbing, he's working, he's doing this. It's not like a game. I get it. But it's just so frustrating. How do you miss the easy stuff?
Give me the guy. So as far as not being impressed, it depends on what impresses you. So some of us are just impressed by different things. You know, like what you might find impressive, I might, and vice versa.
Yeah.
I am impressed by throwing the ball 60-some yards in the air, hitting the dot. Like, give me the player that can do the things that I cannot teach and is willing to be taught the things that I must teach, versus the one that can do everything that I can tell him to do but can't do these certain things that get us out of trouble when we need it. Like, everything that's wrong with him, I feel like, is fixable. It's just a matter of, will he be available and play enough to fix it? And of course, obviously, is he willing to do so? And we have no indications that he's got like the wrong attitude or mental makeup.
Good head on his shoulders.
There's none of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like just assuming that he's got the right injury, fortune, luck, however you want to look at it, and he gets the reps, the repetition. Like basically, if you're a Texans fan, you got to be praying for something, not praying, but hoping for something nefarious here. Like hoping this guy doesn't stay healthy, because that to me is the only way that he doesn't develop. If he's healthy, he's going to get the reps to learn and have the sort of the comfort level with his wide receivers and some of the timing mm-hmm. stuff is going to be there eventually. It may not ever be perfect. Maybe he's not Drew Brees, but it will get better. Plus the fact that he's got all of these elements that you cannot teach.
How much better is the question? Trading on the YouTube site, y'all act like accuracy is guaranteed with time. He may never be accurate. That's possible, but the possibility is what Beast God's speaking to. Yeah. I think that is fair.
And sometimes he was accurate. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. He's not always inaccurate, per se. Like, tell me he was inaccurate on the 60-yard dot. Tell me he was inaccurate on that crossing route where Azeez Al-Shaair thought that the ball was coming straight to him, but because only a few guys can actually make that throw, he didn't have as good of a chance on it as he thought.
Inconsistent, maybe not inaccurate. Well,
inconsistent is absolutely fair.
We'll figure that one out.
I think that one's a fact. He's inconsistent.
All right. One of the things that's popping, and I might have ruined myself again by not attributing time well, But Tyreek Hill, we knew on Sunday that he ended up detained by Miami-Dade police officers outside of Hard Rock Stadium where the Dolphins play. Ultimately, Calais Campbell ultimately was also detained at one point. Well, we got the release of the body cam footage from those officers yesterday. And I am just interested in getting you guys' impressions from it because I definitely had some perspectives myself.
No, this is just another example of... like just a poor interaction overall. But like when you think about the person that is at work and at their job and whose job it is to de-escalate, like whose job it is to make sure that exact thing does not happen. Like whose job is it? It was the officer's job and he did not do his job. I think you can make an argument that the way Tyreek Hill presents to begin the thing does not help.
He was being a jerk to start.
He was absolutely being a jerk. Yeah. And I would say, just as a word of advice, do not antagonize people who are in a position to put you in handcuffs, and certainly not people who have a gun on their hip. Like, I don't think that's just overall. Like,
or in their car or under their seat. Those types of things. I just want to spread that out farther to help.
Yeah, not a good idea. Or I'm saying, like, it's just not a good idea at all. But at the same time, it is that officer's job to make sure that as minimal damage is done as possible. And I felt like there were a couple of officers that went above and beyond to make that more than what they needed to be. Like the whole, I'm going to bust your window.
Yeah.
Like, get out or I'm going to bust. What do you mean you're going to bust my window? What are you talking about?
And it happens more often than
Why would you bust my window?
All right.
Because I can, right?
That's ridiculous.
A lot of the tone after, obviously, Tyreek Hill was not rolling down his window. And his window, it was tinted, right? It was very well tinted. So I can understand that, like, safety aspect for the police officer.
I think we all know that at some level, and it's probably happening right now, and I'll look at the text board here in a second, like this becomes like a where do you stand politically thing.
In some ways.
It just does. I'm going to ask people to set that aside. Oh, it's impossible.
Luck. Yeah, good luck.
It's impossible in a lot of cases, but try to set that aside. To your point, what I mentioned to Reggie beforehand, I totally get the alert that that officer and those officers were on when Tyreek Hill raised his window and wouldn't lower it. That was black. That was black tint. That was dark tint. He could have been doing anything in there, right? So I get the all of a sudden you're on alert. What I don't get is the way, even after it's done and he's out, and even if you got him out, okay, I get it. You know, whatever. Not necessarily, you know, something that everybody would agree with, but I get it. I get all that. Because you're on alert if you're an officer and there's black tinted windows and you don't know what's going on and you know who's in there, etc. What I don't get is the Calais Campbell thing. That guy was 25 yards away, 25 feet, 20, 30 feet away with his hands up saying, hey, let me explain this. And then it goes and they chase him down and put him in handcuffs. So like if you just set aside, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. No, set that aside. What was right there in terms of escalating is what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And de-escalation is usually the word that we use. Like that is the objective. I think I was talking about it earlier. Mm-hmm. And it was a roundabout way that I got to this place because I've been driving around Houston again. I'm like, oh, the 100 Club stickers. I remember seeing those. I ain't seen those nowhere else. And in looking those up, I remember seeing that police officers were referred to as peace officers. And it feels like far too often we don't see that aspect of it where the police officer is offering peace in a situation. It feels like they served, particularly in this situation, to escalate the play, escalate what was Tyreek Hill being a jerk to a place where then it required, you know, two football players, one of whom is like the gentlest giants of all when it comes to Calais Campbell, into a place where they're being detained and where at this point, like, you've gone above what was necessary for the situation and what was called for.
Yeah, and look, I say this as somebody who is not above fighting jerk with jerk. Like, I feel like a de-escalating and, like, jerkish way to respond to Tyreek Hill being a jerk is to go sit in your car and take your sweet time writing that ticket. Okay, all right, sir, I'm going to write your ticket. And you know what? I'm going to take 30, 45 minutes to write it. Like, there are other ways that don't include harming somebody physically or forcibly taking them out. And I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying there are different ways that you can kind of get your point across if that's what you want to be, that don't have to involve humiliating somebody and certainly, you know, excessive force, if you will. So, like, that's just me. Like, there are there's dangers in, I think, arrogance and ego. And I think there was a lot of that in play in this situation.
Yeah, man. The power of being an agent of the state, like a police officer, I think that the reason why we focus so much on that, yes, Tyreek Hill was absolutely being a jerk. I've mentioned that many times. I think the responsibility upon a police officer in that situation is greater, and it feels like those particular Miami-Dade police officers didn't rise to the occasion. At least that's the way that I view that. But there you go. That's what's popping on this Tuesday in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. B. Scott, we always appreciate you sitting down with us, talking football, life, all sorts of different things. Who has the hottest intro on the station, all of that.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that we're raising these books, getting these books for these kids, and hopefully educating the people at the same time.
That's right. Make sure you put, feeling. If you love B. Scott, go ahead and text new books to 41444, because he just had his babies going to the book fair, making sure that they could get themselves right and make sure that they are properly literate. We want to be able to do that for all the children of Houston, especially the ones that maybe don't have great fathers like B. Scott, or maybe just don't have the means to be able to do so. So, again, new books, 41444, $30 does it for every child to be able to make get that done, have books in the house to read and get themselves literate. And shout out to Reliant, who is doing a fantastic job of matching all those contributions for the Houston Literacy Fund. All right, coming up next, let's talk about what's real. In week one, it's open to overreaction on certain things. So what's real and what's not from what we saw in week one with your Texans? We'll discuss that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.